I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray Grandy, Catholic Radio's man for all reasons. The blend of virile femininity, masculine sensitivity, physical spirituality. Delighted to be with you here on the Doctor's In. It's E-Person Monday. I got to find a way to answer your many emails that come in. Using the word mail again. Rather risky. Gender insensitive. Assuming that it's only males out there that send stuff in. Oh, Dr. A, you're misusing it here. You're talking homonyms. Male and male are spelled differently. They sound the same, but they're different. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. In our hypersensitive culture, you not only are in trouble if you use the wrong word as defined by the culture on an ever-changing basis, day to day, week to week, hour to hour, minute to minute, but you can get in trouble for using the wrong word that's not even the wrong word. It just sounds like the wrong word. So, being exquisitely careful, this is E-Person Monday. We'll get to those E-Persons shortly, but for the moment, I'd like to do a rather controversial monologue, and it needs a lot of qualification. Here's the question. Who would your spouse say that you treat the best? Who would your spouse say that you treat the best? You could be, for example, somewhere out in public, grocery store, say. Somebody comes up to you and says, you don't know me, but I work with your husband. And I have to tell you, everybody loves him at work. He's kind. He is reasonable. He's always complimenting the ladies. Very pleasant, very pleasant. You must have a most wonderful marriage. Now, if you do, you would say, yeah, I got a gem. Thank you. But if you don't have a marriage that sounds like the guy at work, you wouldn't say, well, you know, I'm glad he treats other women good. I'm glad he treats other women. That's good. That's a really nice thing. No. You'd wonder, oh boy, I wish I had a little bit of that, or some of that, or all of that. Now, one might say, but wait, Ray. Now, it's easy to be pleasant and nice in more superficial relationships. Somebody you don't live with, day in and day out, seeing all the edges of their personality, all their foibles. I agree. That's true. That is true. But one could also say that to counter that, with that more frequent contact, you have more chances to do good. More chances to act in ways that are much more deeply loving. Okay? That's one point. One might argue and say, okay. You see the human side of your spouse. And the human side, other people don't have that deep a look. I got that too. But if you can say, I believe my spouse treats me as well as she treats the ladies at church, as well as he treats his golfing buddies, maybe more so treats me, then I think that is a sign of a very, very great marriage, where you have enough confidence to say, for all of our weaknesses that are there each and every day that we know and we see, there still is that element of treatment that I would say, all things measured, is better than anybody else gets treated. The women at work, the people at work, can get compliments. And there can be times when conflict is resolved reasonably. That's true. There probably isn't as many opportunities to have to do that at work as there could be at home. A lot more chances for disagreement, a lot more chances for frustrations with each other. It's not the fact that there'll be disagreements and frustrations, it's the fact that what do you do with them? That's the difference. I can disagree with how my wife disciplines a particular child. I wouldn't do it that way. But how do I treat that? How do I resolve that? Do I get critical? Do I argue? Do I put her down? What do I do here? What's my motive in trying to understand why she does what she does, even though I think it might be totally ridiculous? What am I going to do about it? I think it's not so much the irritations or the conflicts or the question marks that erupt in a marital relationship. It is how you deal with them. How reasonable, tolerant, listening-wise are you in dealing with them? That's the key. So, when your spouse is confronted by somebody out in public who says, you know, I know your spouse in this setting, and I'll tell you what, I'm just so impressed with that person. They are so sweet and so kind and so giving and so positive and so upbeat. And you're thinking to yourself, who? Here, let me show you a picture from the phone here. I want to make sure we're talking about the right person. There's another aspect to this. A friend of mine said this once in a Bible study, in a moment, I think, of really humble self-revelation. He said, you know, a lot of times I treat people better than I treat my spouse because I want them to think, what a guy. So, in essence, the motive is self-interest. I want to be popular, I want to be liked, I want to be respected, I want to be viewed positively. Well, how much do you want your spouse to say, what a guy? Or what a lady? You want your spouse to see that they take more opportunity to find ways to treat you right than they do the people at work or the people at church. I saw this one episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where she goes through periods in their married life where she just really, really becomes tough. She gets emotional. She gets really nasty. In this one particular scene, she's kind of screaming at Raymond. And he's trying to talk to her, and she's screaming. She says, sometimes I just need a hug. And he goes, this is not huggable. And the phone rings. She picks it up. She says, hello? Oh, hi, how are ya? Oh, yeah, wasn't that fun? Oh, it was a great time. Oh, you're a killer. Yeah, I remember. And he is dumbfounded as he's looking at this abrupt change of mood as soon as the phone rang and she picked it up and was talking to a friend. And after she hung up, she resumed her emotional tirade with him. Now one might say, well, yeah, but what did he do to provoke that emotional tirade? The friend didn't do that. The friend didn't provoke that emotional tirade. Yes, perhaps not. But did that make the emotional tirade justified? Who would your spouse say you treat the best? Some marriages that very hard to do, you know that. I'm not implying that some of these marriages aren't major struggles for you. Don't doubt that. Come on, I'm a marriage counselor. I see it. I know it. Not naive to say, okay, you just got to have a good relationship by treating them good. No, I know the stumbling blocks and the obstacles. But at the same time, many of you listening have reasonably solid marriages, whatever frictions you have in it. Overall, it's reasonably solid. Those are the ones where you can improve them relatively easily enough so your spouse says, my spouse treats me better than anybody else. Dr. Ray.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholic Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Grandy, host of The Doctor Is In Ave Maria Radio for 20 years. I've been with them, and during that time, I've watched them spread our precious faith to anyone, anywhere. Well, also in that time, their equipment, the equipment that they had is cutting edge, no longer is cutting edge. It's kind of like an iPhone 5. We need your help. We absolutely need your help. Visit AveMariaRadio.net. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining me here, Dr. Ray Grandy. Program Doctor Is In Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. My website, drray.com, drray.com. All the books are there. They're discounted and they are signed. So don't blame me if you got psychological gaps. Also, Instagram. My son manages my Instagram, so fortunately I'm able to produce a lot of quick reels that deal with issues. I don't want to use that word. Matters of living, the faith, discipline, life, kids. My son is a harsh taskmaster. He keeps me within that minute time frame. And he says, you got to make the point that some might otherwise not make. All right. Hi, Dr. Ray. My sister lives out of state. I'm going to visit her soon. I have a question. I'm the only Catholic in my family. I'm trying to work on being less timid about standing up for my faith. Now, I don't know what she means by that, standing up in terms of are they criticizing the faith, or does she want to live her faith while she's there? As I read on here, it seems like it's the latter. I have always gone to church with my sister at her Protestant church when I'm in town, so I don't cause conflict. Okay, my first question would be, why would it cause conflict if you went to your Catholic church? Are they hostile toward the church? Why would it? Now, if you're going to say, so it doesn't cause inconvenience? Now, of course, you can miss Mass for very suitable reasons, and I think, if I remember correctly, there was a very suitable reason coming up here in the e-person, but let's find out where this goes. However, I want to start going to Mass when I visit her instead. In other words, rather than going to her service. My question is whether that is selfish. Well, my question is, why would you think that is selfish? You're Catholic? You want to go to Mass? It's an obligation? How is that selfish? The only way I could stretch into thinking that's selfish is if somehow, some way, your sister gives you a rough time about wanting to go to Mass and you feel responsible for her upset. That's going to be a heck of a stretch. I don't know how you'd stretch that into being selfish. All you could stretch that into being is that she gets upset when I want to go to Mass because I'm Catholic. I don't want to come across like I disrespect her religious beliefs or like I'm unjudgmental. No, how would that be? You're not disrespecting her religious beliefs by saying I'd like to live mine. Now, if you say, but that's how she'll take it, you have no control over that. How she chooses to interpret the fact that you say, I'd like to go to Mass, please. Now, if I recall correctly, this is a relatively new e-person. There is definitely a qualifier coming up. My time with the Eucharist is really limited, given that I can't drive. Now, one could ask, in a culture where virtually everybody can drive, why not? We're going to find out. I feel like my Sunday Mass time is too valuable to miss, even for other people. Well, you don't have to feel like it's too valuable to miss. You know it's too valuable to miss. It's not a matter of feeling. This is a matter of knowledge and understanding. I want to be at Mass. Perfectly understandable given what you believe. Now, if for some reason your sister takes it personally because you won't go to her service and you'd rather go to Mass instead, I don't think you can control that. All right, she explains. I've also been giving up going to Mass on holidays or on vacation so I don't inconvenience my family. Now, one might say, how would that be? They have other plans, and you're going to Mass would mean you wouldn't be part of those plans for an hour? Well, no, here's the explanation. I am disabled, and I don't drive. And people feel obligated to give me rides, even though I offer to take a Lyft. Okay, well, that makes it easy. That's very kind of them to feel obligated. Well, I don't know how kind obligation is, but it's very kind of them to do that. But if you're able to take a Lyft and you're willing to take a Lyft, then I don't think their sense of obligation could keep you from going to Mass, given that they'll say, well, we'll take you, but we feel obligated to take you because it's an inconvenience for us. If you have the ability to take a Lyft, then what you're really saying is, I'm afraid that they won't understand how deeply I wish to go to Mass. And they may not. But our Lord said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I don't think it's persecution, but you seem to be very sensitive to how they would react. It makes it more tricky, especially when I want to go to confession or do other devotions that my non-Catholic family doesn't do. I'm working on it, but I'm not going to win any apologetics awards, and I can't keep my head in a theological argument if it gets heated. Okie dokie, I didn't remember that line, but now that explains it. Her family, particularly when she goes to visit her sister out of town, doesn't agree. They don't agree with her being Catholic. So therefore, They will challenge why she thinks she has to go to Mass. They will challenge her belief in confession. They will challenge her belief in the Eucharist. And she says, I don't have the capability right now to answer their challenges well. She says, I am disabled. Now, would that mean physically disabled, or would that mean struggling to read or learn or reason? I don't know. But what is the core thing here is that you wish to practice your Catholic faith. And they don't understand it, but perhaps it's more than they don't understand it. Perhaps it's more they criticize it. Or they're unwilling to help you to practice your Catholic faith because they don't believe it. Now, you have two options. One, you take a lift and you go to confession via that way. I'm hoping you have the money to do that. Or two, you do what I did when I was working my way back to the Catholic Church. That's a bad choice of words, working my way back. When I was journeying my way back to the Catholic Church, I went to the evangelical service with my wife on Sundays, because she wasn't yet Catholic, and I also went to Mass. I went to Mass at 7:30, and then met her for her service at 9. You can do both. The key is you don't, if they offer their memorial meal, you don't take part in it. But you can take part in all the other aspects of the service. Now, here's the key line. I just don't ever want to be thought of as selfish or judgmental, and then not to be able to articulate why I'm insisting on going to church. Well, first of all, in no way are you being judgmental or selfish by saying, I want to live my Catholic faith. It has nothing to do with them. But secondly, you don't need to articulate in depth why you want to go to Mass. All you need to say is, this is an extremely important part of my Catholic beliefs. It means the world to me, and I want to live as a faithful Catholic. You don't have to give them all the arguments for transubstantiation. You don't have to give them all the arguments for confessing to a priest. You don't have to give them all the arguments for praying your rosary, repetitive prayer, vain prayer, repetition. You don't have to do all that. Don't feel like you have to. It sounds to me, in between the lines, that they don't really want to hear it anyway. They just want to tell you how you're wrong. So for whatever the reason, you are hypersensitive that they're going to interpret you as somehow disrespectful of them if you choose to live your faith. It couldn't be farther from the truth. Do both, if you wish. Find a Mass that coincides around their particular service. You can do that. Or if you choose not to do that, you simply have, of course, every prerogative to say, I really would prefer to go to Mass because I'm Catholic and that's how I worship. That's it. Well, I can't believe that you actually think the blah, 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 blah. Well, I do. You don't need to defend yourself. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I appreciate it so very much. This is E-Person Monday, where I get a chance to also answer some of the emails, and I'm going to use the word mail at risk here, that you sent to me. see what we got here. Dr. Ray, I could use some help. Well, that's the implication of most of the e-persons that come in. My daughter is recently dating someone that we, I'm assuming that he means he and his wife, do not feel is a good match. Nor, do be honest, do we like. They seem to get along well, but he is heavy in college debt, likes to drink and socialize, watch TV with limited goals. She likes to socialize and some drinking. This is tough to watch. She has a good chunk of savings. She is 30 years old, attractive, lives at home, and has a successful career. For whatever the reason, she has had a tough time finding a man as a husband. Well, all right, let me jump in there. For whatever the reason, seems to be a heavy cultural one for a lot of young women. The number of women now who have not found a suitable life partner or who are married is off the charts. I forget the exact statistics, but people by age 40 who are not married has never been higher. Now, part of that is they live together, but part of it is there's an awful lot of very faithful young people who have a very hard time finding someone who has shared moral values, shared religious values, and that is in large part because of this wholesale turning from the faith of the younger generation. So that doesn't shock me at all. I know a lot of young women in that position. And part of what happens, and I think this is what's happening with your daughter, is they become, no, I don't want to say it this way, I'm going to say it another way. They relax their standards, thinking, okay, I can make this work with this individual, even though there are aspects of this relationship that are kind of tough, but hopefully we can work this out. He goes on. For whatever the reason, she has a tough time finding a man as a husband, and this person has taken a keen interest in her. He does seem to make her happy. We are just concerned. There it is. She is settling for less than what she should. That may be. And it may be because she's 30 years old and she's thinking, if I want to be married and have a child or children, then I'm going to have to try to make a relationship work that otherwise has some wrinkles in it, but hopefully they'll smooth out. Doesn't surprise me at all. I was looking for advice on your website, Dr. Ray, to help us through this. I couldn't find any. Well, some of the books there address definitely adult issues. I have one book called Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, which is good for even those planning on getting married. I would say this, John. At this point, you can do a couple things. In gentle curiosity, you can ask her, what is it you like about him? Tell me what you like about him. Is there anything that makes you nervous about him? Anything that you think could be a point of contention? See what she says. If, in your opinion, she's denying or she's minimalizing, well, not so sure what you can do about that. The other thing you got to do is you got to accept him. You say, I don't like him. Yeah, but you can't make that obvious. What you have to do is say, well, you don't have to do anything, but what it would be, I think, in my opinion, smart to do would be to say, okay, that's who she is choosing to potentially have a long-term relationship with. We got to accept him. We got to do whatever we can to be pleasant with him, civil with him, kind to him, enjoy both of their companies at the same time. You got to do those things. Because if it becomes clear that you have great reservations about this, and those reservations translate into the way you treat the guy, my guess would be you'll put distance between you and your daughter. Because right now, whether she's misguided or not, or however badly she might be misguided, this is the direction she's gone. And if you say, I don't like this direction, and we don't support this direction, and we're going to react in a certain way, and you're going to know we're unhappy about it, then she's going to choose one way or the other. She's not going to say, well, my parents don't approve, so therefore I'm breaking off this relationship. Now, there are those who will do that, but very few. So if she's in a place, and you can find this out after you talk with her. You can say, what do you like about him? What do you think the future holds? You think he wants to become Catholic? Or maybe he is or isn't? I don't know. You know, you're going to find out what she is seeing in this relationship, pro and con. And you'll get a better sense of how determined she is to follow through in this relationship. And if she is, if you get the read on how determined she is, you're going to have to back away. You're going to have to recognize, we're going to have to accept him because she accepts him. Even though, that doesn't mean your reservations are going to go away. I had one father tell me one time, he said, no, I'm not going to accept the guy. Because she needs to know there's consequences to this choice. And his mind, one of the consequences was she's going to lose her father's warmth. She's going to lose her father's relationship. She's going to lose a lot of contacts with her father. She's going to lose the fact that her father's going to have any relationship with this guy. Now, he can do this, and in his mind, that's going to teach her a lesson, but I've rarely seen that succeed. All it does is create distance. You're not compromising your beliefs, your standards, by saying, okay, this is a person that she has chosen to connect with for now. We're not sure exactly how serious it's going to get and how fast it's going to get serious, but at this point, we would do well to more or less just be kind and charitable toward that relationship. Now, if you're worried, if you say, yeah, but if we do that, she's going to think it's okay with us. Well, the problem with that is, if you don't do that, then you're probably risking your relationship with your daughter, or at the very least, it'll be strained. How she interprets the fact that you are sociable, kind, and charitable toward this guy is not something you can necessarily control.
What kind of a God do you have? Don't say my God. It's your God too.
Don't give them to us. We have enough troubles with our own God.
But there's only one God.
I don't know. You know why you could question evolution? Because why do mothers have only two hands? You know, you would think there'd be a mom. You need 3, 4, 5 hands and an eye in the back of your head. Ponder this. If it was the natural state of humans to have two eyes in the front and one eye in the back, then anyone without an eye in the back would be considered severely handicapped. How can you do that? How can you not have an eye in the back of your head so that you can see what's back there, what's coming? Boy, oh boy, I don't know how you live like that. But you see how you come to accept sort of the way it is? We could all be 9 feet, too. That'd make a lot of difference in being able to reach up into trees, but it wouldn't make a whole lot of difference in everything else because we just build everything bigger to accommodate 9 feet. Oh, well, I'm just randomly speculating here. All right, let me get to this one. My wife and I have been married for almost 29 years. Out of the blue, an old live-in boyfriend that she said she'd live with for about 6 months and told me that he had left bruises on her and other things, pops up now and wants to apologize. She told him there was no reason for him to apologize. My wife and I had a few words about this, and she did rewrite how he had hurt her, but if he didn't, she wouldn't have found me. Okay, so what she's saying is, because of the way he treated me, I left him, and I ultimately ended up with you. Which, after she said she was married with 9 kids, he left her alone for about a month. She was also liking his posts, and I told her how I felt about her being so nice and wanting to be friends with him. She told me that I, too, should be friends with him, and I was making a big deal over nothing. His mother died this last Wednesday, and he was basically asking her to the funeral. And she asked me to take off work to go with her. My wife said she really wanted to talk to his sister, which I've never heard anything about this sister until now. I told her I would go to the viewing with her, but I wasn't going to go to the funeral, and I think she's going without me. Am I making a big deal over nothing? Or am I in the right by saying she shouldn't go without me and she shouldn't be following him on Facebook and talking to him on Messenger and being friends with him? When I ask her why she wants to be friends with someone that hurt her so much, all she can say to her... Okay, that's kind of confusing. I'm not really sure the sentence. It's... When I ask her why she wants to be friends with someone who hurt her so much, all she can say, I think he's meaning to say, you hurt me with the stuff that you say. In other words, she's saying, you're accusing me of something that is not happening, that I want to rekindle this relationship with this guy. From the letter, it doesn't sound like our writer completely understands what is the pull here. Now, if I say I wouldn't understand either in a situation like that, if my wife wanted to have an ongoing contact with an old boyfriend, particularly one who mistreated her badly, that doesn't help him. Because for whatever the reason, it seems like his wife does. So given that, I really would want to know what kind of details she would give me regarding why this is something she's doing. What is it? And then I would ask clarifying questions. I would say, well, are you saying that he once meant something to you, so therefore there's still memories there? Are you saying you feel sorry for him? What does this mean? I really want to know what this means. And then if she denies it, if she says, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. I might say something like, well, do you think it's kind of hard to understand from my perspective why you would continue to have some kind of friend relationship with an old boyfriend? Would I be permitted to have a connection with an old girlfriend, an ongoing connection? How would you view that? I think there's unknowns here. Now, one of the problems, let's say that after all of the questions he asked to getting details, she says, it's not what you think it is. I'm just being friendly to a person who was part of my life a long time ago. That's all it is. Whew. You're kind of boxed. You're boxed into a corner. Because you're going to have to roll with it for a while. I mean, if you try to forbid it, I suppose you could. And I don't know what would happen if you forbid it. I don't know if she'd obey. I don't know if she would go underground. I don't know. Maybe you could even ask her, well, what if I flat out say, don't do this? What would you do? And if she says, well, I would do it anyway. Yikes. I suppose you have to hope that at some point she comes to realize that on her part, this is very threatening to you. This is pretty much inappropriate in a relationship, a marriage relationship, especially with 9 kids, 30-year relationship. Hopefully she'd come to that conclusion. I think it's all gonna come down to what kind of information she gives you regarding why she's pursuing this, and what she'd be willing to do if she knows that you are adamantly against it because you see it as dangerous. That's what it comes down to. Dr. Ray.
What's the deal with Dr. Ray? I mean, is he a psychologist or a comedian?
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
And trust is something that we're lacking these days. We don't have much trust in anyone, let alone the God we cannot see. And yet, if by grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, by baptism and by confirmation, we ask the Lord just very simply, increase my faith. Increase my faith. God will give you eyes to see and ears to hear His action in your lives. You'll penetrate through the darkness, through the difficulty, and you'll begin to see. It's a walk by faith, but you'll begin to see, and God will give you confidence and strength to follow Him and to do it His way. That's not easy, but God will supply the faith if we ask for it. If I fix my gaze on Him now, I begin to experience more and more His action in our lives. You know, we've got to be attentive. God doesn't come in with a sledgehammer. He comes in with this small, still voice. We need to become sensitive and attentive. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, He will give it to us. Just keep asking.
Food for the Journey with Sister Ann Shields can be now heard on the audio archives page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In on this E-Person Monday, where we talk about your E-Persons. Dr. Ray, thank you for addressing personal finance and, quote, not having enough to give to the church. Most people do seem to let their style of life eat up almost all of their income. Well, that's very true. There's a book written by a fellow. He's an evangelical, but I forget his name. It's called Margins. His point is that we live all the way to the limit of our potential in money, in time, and sometimes above, so that we have little wiggle room in terms of what to do with our time, what to do with our money, what to do with our abilities. This is true. There's a parish in my hometown called St. Joseph's. Spectacularly beautiful parish. Big, big parish. At one time in the 60s, it was the largest elementary school in Stark County, Ohio. 1,000 kids. St. Joseph was built during the Depression and thereafter with the money from local people who scripted and saved and wanted to build that kind of place to worship their God. to build a church like that now, when more people have far, far more financial resources than most of the folks did in those days, would be just incredibly difficult. But it is. What's really sad, and I see this, is that so many parishes struggle to make ends meet, struggle to even be generous with other parishes, other foreign parishes that could so much use money, parishes in Africa, places like this, they could do much, but they can barely pay their own bills because, well, I'm going to say it, of all religious denominations, and you want to not include Catholic as a denomination, but for ease of description, we're the cheapest. Yeah. Roughly 1.5% of our income we give. Okay. I had my parents, she goes on here, I had my parents as a good example of this, but I still didn't get it until my mother died. Then it came to my attention that the bank of Mom was closed. What was I going to do about my own retirement? I had to get my financial house in order. Yeah. We spend to live at the level we can. You can afford a $70,000 vehicle, so you buy one. But what if you bought a $30,000 used vehicle? You'd have more money and more flexibility. But we tend to use our money for our own desires, and then what's left over, if there is anything left over, we give it to the church a little bit. This was some years back, so it was a different financial time, but my mom was involved at the counting the collection at St. Anthony Parish, as many of you have heard me say before. That's the home parish of Rita Rizzo, Mother Angelica. And I asked my mom, "Hey, Mom, how often do you get a $20 bill?" And she looked at me like I just said, "Do we have an outhouse at our house?" She looked at me like, "What?" I said, what's the most common denomination you get?" She gets ones, sometimes fives. Now, this was a while back. I'll grant that. But I would not stretch it to say that it would be quite unusual for most people in a parish to give $50 a week to the church. I got to believe that. 100 would be unthinkable. But yet they could. They easily could. Even if you bought a $30,000 vehicle instead of a $60,000 vehicle, after the loans and everything else, you end up paying another extra $40,000. That's just a car. So if you took that $40,000 and used it for charity over the next 5 years, that's $8,000 a year to charity. Just by what? Just by driving a little more used car that's not quite as fancy. Do we think this way? I submit, it's easy not to. You have the money, you use it on yourself. As long as you give a little. Oh, she's got more questions here too. Question about personal finance. Oh, she asked this question. What is a nervous breakdown? These are great. All right, Susan, I'll do my very best to answer them in due time, but I'm looking at the clock. The clock is basically saying, in so many words, shut up, Ray. It does that, you know. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In on this E-Person Monday. I welcome your emails. Please send them on. I will address everyone I can. I try to respond to all of them, which sometimes can be tough, but I do. Because if you think enough to write, I'm going to think enough to say something. Even if it's just please call the show because I can ask some questions. clarifying questions for the email. Thank you, Andrew Krucek, for all you do over there in Ann Arbor. Thank you, EWTN, for being kind enough to carry this show. All righty, I got to run. Hold God by the hand, huh? Walk with Him, right beside Him. Let Him carry you when He has to.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.